I cruise a lot, and I always sail with travel insurance. You should, too. Get a free quote today at tripinsurance.com.
Here we go.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Very happy to have you here. We'll call it kind of a special episode today because as we speak, staff writer Richard Sims and myself are sitting aboard Norwegian Getaway here docked in Port Canaveral, Florida, which is kind of weird because I live like 2 hours from here, and this cruise started in New York, so it's kind of all bizarre to me, but whatever. On this show today, we're going to have a review of Royal Caribbean's Mariner of the Seas, but first, as always, staff writer Richard Sims with Cruise News. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Doug.
So, yeah, it's not weird for you because you live up in New York, and you're like, you know, you're coming to Florida. Me, I came to New York for the cruise, and I'm coming back home to Florida.
Yeah, it is a little weird. It's also a little weird in that they sort of changed our itinerary up a little bit. So while we expected to only be in Florida for a couple hours and then go to the private island, we found out yesterday that because of weather and a couple other issues, they were actually keeping us overnight in Florida. So we had an overnight in Florida. And then today, instead of going to the private island, we're leaving about 4 o'clock this afternoon and we'll be going straight to Nassau. So that was a little weird. Had some people a little upset. I'm on a ship. I'm pretty happy.
But also weird because they canceled our stop at Great Stirrup, but Norwegian Sky is docked there right now with not a cloud in the sky and very flat water.
Yeah, and we had a beautiful day here in Florida. And, you know, it's interesting because I have been to Great Stirrup Cay many, many times. I've never seen them ever have two ships there at the same time. So I can't help wondering if somebody more important than us got invited to go to Great Stirrup Cay today while we sat in Florida. You know, it's funny, though, because it's also it costs Norwegian money to do this because the casino's been closed since 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. So that means they lost, you know, all the revenue they would have had last night from the casino out the windows.
Yeah, and retail shopping too. Well, Speaking of NCL, let's start the news off with NCL. They have detailed more about their upcoming ship, Norwegian Prima.
Yeah, this is getting more and more exciting, especially if you've been looking at NCL the way I have the last few years. There's been a real distinct sort of uptick in their quality, and they're sort of aiming at a higher audience, it seems like. You know, when you read through the press releases for the new ship, Prima, which is the first in the Prima class and will be followed by Viva, they use words like, you know, upscale, and it's all of the descriptions of the venues and things are a little trendy, a little hipper, and a little, I'm going to venture a guess, a little pricier than what we've seen on Norwegian. And of course, that already started with the Breakaway class. We started seeing some of that with a couple of the venues they added on. In this case, some of the stuff they revealed was, one of the things that was most interesting to me is they're introducing a cocktail bar that is going to feature sustainable cocktails. Now, you can't see me, but right now I'm doing air quotes around the word sustainable because I don't really know exactly what that means. I do know that the signature drink of the bar is going to be called the Prima Donna, and it's made with rum and surplus banana peels. I'm interested by the word surplus there because, I mean, I think all banana peels are surplus. I don't think anybody really needs banana peels, but I'm assuming it's something that they have figured out how to make from, you know, they're making the banana cake for the buffet, and they say, hey, we've got some leftover banana peels. What can you do with them? Let's make a drink. So it'll be interesting to see that. This ship will have a much bigger haven. It will be on the back of the ship. But the other thing that was kind of cool here was they're introducing a new to Norwegian atrium. This one is going to be 3 stories tall. In some ways, looking at the pictures and reading about it, it reminded me a little bit about of what Carnival has done with Mardi Gras atrium. But in many ways, it's also completely different. So there's a lot to sort of suss out with all this information that's been coming out the last few days. We've got a complete article on the site that lists more about the restaurants that they revealed. And, oh, the big thing, I almost buried the lead here. The big thing, you'll remember a while back, Norwegian Cruise Line sort of reinvented cruise dining when they introduced Freestyle. You didn't need a reservation. You could just sort of like go when you want. Well, it looks like they're changing dining again. This time, and this is huge, instead of having rotating menus in the two main dining rooms, they will have fixed menus, meaning if you are on a 7 or 14 night cruise, that menu is going to be the same every night. Now, we happen to be in the Haven this week, and in the Haven, the menu does stay the same. The lunch menu is the same every day, and the dinner menu is the same every day. Maybe they looked at that and saw that as successful and said, let's roll that out into our main dining rooms. So starting on Viva, which launches in August, they will be doing set fixed menus in the dining room. And if it works out, their plan is that in 2023, they will roll this out across all the ships. Doug, what do you think of that?
I do like the rotating menus as well, but I guess from a business standpoint, I could also see it as it's less, I guess, supplies you have to buy, or ingredients rather, not supplies. Well, supplies too, to make, you know, 15 different versions of a chicken or beef or something like that. Whereas if you can have a set menu with your steak, your chicken, your salad, etc., maybe I would like to see like a chef's choice every night, just one thing unique that changes or differs from night to night, like the special of the day or something.
Well, they are also creating on this menu, it'll have a pasta section where you can create your own pasta. And with the various combinations of like sauce and pasta and toppings and things, you can make 24 different individual meals out of it. They also are going to set up something where if you want to order certain items from specialty restaurants and have them brought to you in the main dining room, you can do that. I assume that will be at an upcharge. I think one of the reasons that this could actually work is that we see more and more people dining in specialty dining. Like we have not on this trip eaten in a main dining room once, except for lunch. We've done lunch in the main dining room, but we have not done dinner in the main dining room because there are great specialty restaurants on board. So even if you are on a 7-night cruise and they don't change the menu in the main dining room, assuming you eat in a specialty restaurant one or two nights, which most people get with their packages, then, you know, that really only leaves you like 3 or 4 nights that you're eating in the main dining room. So if your menu is extensive enough, it seems like you would be able to very easily eat on the same menu for 4 nights. The one place I see it being a little bit of a problem might be vegetarians. Vegetarians already don't get really great selections on most cruise ships. And if you're only going to have 1 or 2 things on that menu, which we don't know how many they'll have, but if you only have 1 or 2 and your vegetarians are stuck eating that every night for, you know, 7 or God forbid 14 days, that's a lot of Indian lentils, which is what the normal, you know, meal is for vegetarians on a cruise ship.
So Carnival Cruise Line, they celebrate their 50th anniversary on Friday, March 11th. That's their official 50th. But over the past month, they've had these celebration cruises, and they had a really big one a couple of days ago where they met up off the coast of Mexico.
Yeah, off the coast of Mexico, off of Cozumel, to be specific, they had 7 ships meeting up. It was the Ecstasy, the Breeze, the Pride, the Vista, the Glory, the Sunrise, the Mardi Gras. Yes, that's 7. I had to count on my fingers. Again, you can't see my fingers, but I'm using them a lot today. And, you know, this was part of their ongoing celebration. That'll include the introduction of the Celebration later this year. They're doing different things on board. They've got different merch you can buy, and they're doing menus that feature sort of items that haven't been on the menu for years and years, that kind of thing. So these are sort of special, and I think that they're really aimed at, I mean, obviously anybody on them is going to have a good time, but they're really aimed at people who love Carnival and who really want to help Carnival celebrate this milestone anniversary. So it sounds like a good time.
And there's a couple of more meetups happening later this week and then over the coming weeks as well, both off the coast of Bahamas here on the eastern side and then also on the western side with Radiance Panorama and the ships out there, Miracle 2, I believe. And speaking of Carnival, 2 more Carnival ships resume service over the past week.
Yeah, this is almost becoming old hat. You know, for a while there, all we had was bad news. And then we might have, you know, one ship returning, one sad lone ship doing a sailing. But now it's we're getting to the point where a few months from now, hopefully, we will actually stop reporting this because there will not be any more ships to return because they'll all be back. This time, it is the Carnival Spirit, which is the first Carnival ship to sail out of Jacksonville since the shutdown. It's also the first major cruise ship to sail out of. They've had, what was sailing out of there?
The one that's right over there right now, the little blue ship, the Ocean Voyager.
Oh, right.
That was the American Queen Steamboat Company. That's their river ship for the Great Lakes and all that. But they're currently in Jacksonville doing like six or seven sailings, which randomly were literally docked right next to them right now. I'm looking at them outside the balcony window here in the stateroom, which is kind of cool. But before the shutdown, we had Carnival Ecstasy,
right,
which is just restarted as well.
Yeah. And in fact, Ecstasy is now out of Mobile, Alabama. So, you know, we're seeing more and more of the ports come back to normal, more and more of the ships starting to sail again. And like I said, hopefully soon we won't have to report on this anymore. They'll all be out there sailing and we'll all be on them.
Yeah. And speaking of Spirit, we've heard so much about Spirit since they pulled the ship from Australia last month and it came over here. But, you know, Carnival Ecstasy is being sold this year, as is Carnival Sensation, or leaving the fleet, I should say. And Carnival Spirit is actually going to be sailing in Mobile, Alabama, starting in the fall of next year. It'll be doing 6 and 8 night cruises. So as you said last week, you have to have kind of have a map to keep track of all the Carnival ships. But just one more announcement for a redeployment this week with Spirit going to Mobile in 2023. And an Oasis class ship also going to be happening here in Port Canaveral for Allure of the Seas. Some news here.
Yeah, and what's really unusual about this is, you know, Allure of the Seas is one of the bigger ships in the fleet. Not the biggest, of course. That's the new one.
It was at one point,
because that's the way they do it. Every ship they introduce is just a little bit bigger than the one before it. But this is a huge ship. It's going to be sailing out of Port Canaveral, and that's not unusual. What is unusual is it's going to be doing 3 and 4 night sailings. And, you know, you don't usually see ships of that size with that many people on them doing durations or sailings of that short a duration. That's usually saved for the smaller ships in a fleet. You know, like Norwegian Gem would do those kind of things, and Royal has many ships that are smaller and would be usually be used for that. So, you know, it's hard to imagine getting on a ship like that and having time to actually get to know it, you know? I mean, we're like 3 days in to the getaway and we're still sort of getting to know the ship. I mean, I think at this point we know it pretty well, but those ships with the neighborhoods and so much going on them and so many restaurants to try, and I don't think I would be satisfied with like a 3 night trip on it.
But maybe they're hoping you're not, and you could do a 3 and 4 back to back, make it a 7, and probably get a little bit more money out of it too. Your itinerary choices, obviously a little more limited, Bahamas probably, and that's pretty a private island. You're not going out to the Cozumel area in a 4 night cruise from Central Florida. But yeah, if you want more time, you could always book a 3 and a 4 back-to-back to make a 7.
And it's also, you know, worth noting that right now a lot of people are looking to do shorter cruises, you know, whether it's because of fear. You know, there's a lot of people out there who are still a little bit nervous about getting back on cruise ships. And, you know, that's everybody's got their own comfort level. But there's also, we live in a time right now when people don't necessarily have the ability to jump on a ship for a week, let alone 10 days, 14 days. And so I think it's kind of cool that even if you only have that limited time, you only have 3 days or 4 days, you can still do one of the big ships that, you know, that don't normally do this kind of itinerary. So it's kind of cool.
And our last talking point here, looks like you'll have one more New York City home port advantage.
I'm very excited about this. Regular listeners will know that I personally try only to sail out of New York. I did make an exception for Mardi Gras this year because I really wanted to do that ship, so I flew to Florida. And it's not that I don't like to fly. I think airports are where fun goes to die, and I don't want to get off an amazing week on a ship and then have to go like hang out at the airport for 2 hours and hope my flight isn't canceled. So I tend to only fly out of New York, and that does sort of limit the ships that you're available that are available for you to sail. But MSC is going to be starting the Meraviglia. I hope I pronounced that right. And this is kind of big, exciting news. It is not sailing out of my favorite port, which is the one in Midtown Manhattan, but it is going to be sailing out of Brooklyn, and that'll give me a reason to go check out the Brooklyn Terminal. And you've been on this ship, haven't you?
Yeah, I love that ship. It's kind of a borrowing some concepts from Royal Caribbean's Quantum class ships with the in-store promenade, the back kind of 270. They don't call it 270. They call it like the Cirque area or whatever. One thing I will say about this ship, Meraviglia, which I've never noticed on any other MSC ship before, even on Seashore a couple of months ago, the new one, tons of outdoor space. I mean, just decks upon decks, really connecting you with the water, and also massive pools on board where, you know, the pool on here is kind of tiny.
Yeah.
For the amount of people on
so
board.
Bigger than Virgin.
yeah, that's true too, for sure. But yeah, a lot of outdoor spaces and a lot of really cool areas to get connected with the water on Miravia, which is perfect for sail away too, because you have that iconic New York sail away.
And pricing wise, it doesn't seem too bad. I am booked on Carnival Magic later this year for a 5-night sailing to Bermuda. So I did sort of a comparable. They have a 6-night sailing on Miraviglia, and I wanted to price that. And it was actually not bad. I think the 6-night sailing for myself in a studio balcony came out to around $1,200 with port fees. It was like $1,500, which, you know, for a 5-day sailing in a balcony, and it's going to be a smaller balcony because it's a studio balcony designed for one guest. But still, 5 days for $1,500 on a ship like that, that's not bad. I don't understand their drink packages. I really have to research that.
Yeah, they're definitely all over the map.
And you know how important that is to me.
Yeah. And listener question time, email yours to doug@cruiseradio.net. What is the vibe like this week on Norwegian Getaway? No masks at all? Back to 2019? Or are there still some precautions?
I don't think I'd say back to 2019, but it's pretty surprisingly close to normal. It's worth noting that we're sailing at a massively reduced capacity. I expected us to be around 60%. We're actually sailing below 50%. The ship normally sails with about 4,000 passengers, and there are 1,451 guests, I believe. Or did I get those numbers back?
Yeah, 1,451.
1,451, yeah. So that's less than 50%. And it's very noticeable. Now, there are some people on board who don't like that, you know, who like, you know, there's not as much pizzazz to the nightlife, you know, the parties might not be quite as active. And there are some things that, for example, we have been kind of dying to eat at the Shanghai Noodle Bar all week, and we assumed it would be open on sea days, but it wasn't. It's only open for dinner. There are some services that definitely you notice are not, either aren't open or aren't up to par. But overall, I mean, there are people who are wearing masks. Some people who, you know, I the first day wore my mask most of the time. But as I settled in and realized how few people there were and how really there is no need for social distancing because you won't come within 10 feet of a person. You won't even see a person. When we were on our way to breakfast this morning, we were walking down what is normally one of the busiest areas of the ship by the atrium. And I think we went like 100 yards without seeing another human being. It's pretty close to normal, I would say. Wouldn't you agree?
You can go anywhere you want without a line. And the Haven seems a little bit busier because there is like – it is a smaller area, of course. But there's like a bar out here, also a lounge in the courtyard, which seems to be pretty full of this whole sailing so far. You know, we're 3 or 4 days in.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that one of the reasons that the Haven sort of seems more crowded, if you will, than the rest of the ship is if you think about it, the ship is sailing at less than half capacity. But the Haven is, from what I've gathered talking to our butler, and yes, we have a butler. Be jealous. In talking to our butler, he has sort of pointed out that the Haven is, I believe, sold out. I don't think there are any available cabins, and certainly not many. So this area, because it's an enclosed area and because it has, it is sold out, it's going to feel more crowded. You know, if they're not going to sell something like to make up the 50% capacity, I guarantee you, they are selling the high-end rooms in the Haven and they are leaving the lower-end rooms in, like, you know, the inside rooms and the ocean views. That's where you're going to find all the empty staterooms. They're going to get as much as they can out of the Haven because that is where the money comes from. You know, if you want to sort of make the stereotypical leap, you can also assume that people who are paying money to stay in the Haven are probably going to spend more on, you know, ship experiences, like whether it's in the casino, which is relatively empty, or the specialty restaurants, which you are able to get into without a reservation for the most part. We last night walked right into Moderno, had no reservation, and were immediately seated. So you know, yeah, the Haven is more crowded, but it's because they're making more money off of that section.
Very good. I've been talking with staff writer Richard Sims. Great actually doing this in person, man. And thanks again. And I will say see you next week, but I'll see you right now.
All right. I'll see you after my nap.
Breaking news as it happens. Online and on demand at cruiseradio.net.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance?
Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
You're listening to Cruise Radio, the trusted voice of the cruise industry.
So Adam just returned from a five-night cruise on Royal Caribbean's Mariner of the Seas. It was a five-nighter over to Cozumel and perfect day. He joins us on the line to talk all about it. Hey, Adam.
Thank you for having me, Doug.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on and talking about your cruise experience here. As we always do, we're going to take a step back. So let me get some pre-cruise thoughts from you. What made you want to take this five-nighter out of Port Canaveral?
As with most people, Doug, this was one of those pandemic cruises. This was 2 years ago. It was a birthday gift from my mother to me. Actually, she asked me. I'm one of those people that has a difficult time of asking, what do you want for your birthday? Mm-hmm. And my mother has never gone on a vacation. We never were a family that went on vacations when we were younger. So she hasn't been on a vacation in 40 years. And all I did was ask, I want to go on a cruise with you. And she was happily able to give me that birthday gift. And we were supposed to go last year and then rescheduled it twice. And finally, it was this cruise that we went on it. As part of that, as you know, we with the pre-cruise testing, we had a little bit of a hiccup. We ordered the Proctor test, which most people have had not had a problem with. And on December 7th, it was the day that Amazon went down. So Amazon Web Services went down and the Proctor test, the Abbott Proctor tests, are done through the Amazon Web Services. So they were down for December 7th. I immediately called my travel agents, tried to get them to figure out anything. They gave me a couple ideas for where I could get my test done if they did not come back up in Orlando Airport we were flying into. But Orlando's testing services close at 5 p.m., and then I found another one at Walgreens at 7 p.m. by Port Canaveral, if need be, if that didn't work out. So the next morning, luckily, this web service was back up. Abbott testing service was back up. We were able to do two tests. However, the results for my mother's test, they lost. Ugh. So we had to immediately drive to the airport because we were late. We didn't want to miss our flight. And we just were going to just get the testing done for her at Orlando if we got in on time. We did get in on time. She was getting ready for the test while I was picking up our luggage. And then after she paid for the test to be done, but not gotten the test done, her results finally did come in. They found her results for the Abbott test system. So we were able to get the refund. All was well. And we got our tests. But just an interesting hiccup for both the Abbott test system and just testing in general.
And something we wouldn't have had to deal with 2 years ago either.
No, not at all.
So you, at least you made your way to the Orlando into the Port Canaveral area, and you go to embark the ship with your tests in hand. How was the embarkation process?
It was actually fantastic. We had a boarding time of 12:30. We got there at 12:15, expecting to have to wait because of, set times. We got there. They said, no, just go online. You have everything. Go online. So we just walked right in, and we were in, even reviewing all the documents. And with my mother's slow walking, because she has mobility issues, we were onto the ship within 25 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
I'll just continue that because sort of on the embarkation process, they changed how they did the muster drill, at least from what I've heard. Mm-hmm. They didn't let you do anything. They marched you to your muster station. They said, what's your muster station? Go there. And you immediately went there. If you didn't watch your video beforehand, you sat there and watched your video, but they checked you in at your muster station, asked you like three questions and checked you out, and you were already done.
You know, it's interesting they actually marched you there because so I've done 12 cruises since June, since the restart. And without fail, all 12 cruises, they do 5, 6, 7 announcements. If you haven't done your muster drill yet, please do it now. We can't set sail until you do it. So it looks like they're saying, hey, look, we're going to make you do it right now before you get too carried away in the sauce.
And it's perfect because there's no waiting. It's everyone's, they've sort of got people onto the ship at a set time, spreading the time people getting onto the ship.
Yeah.
So they're going to the muster stations right as they get on the ship. It's actually perfect. You're done with everything. In this case, we were done with everything within 35 minutes and making our reservations for restaurants and shows after that.
How was the ship holding up on the inside?
You would not know that that ship is that old. It looked great. I was very happy with it. It was clean. And I think when they came out of this, the stoppage, they made sure everything was as spotless and amazing as ever.
Did they say what kind of capacity she was at?
I did ask. The ship holds 3,000, they say, double occupancy at full, and they had 2,200.
Okay. All right. Not bad. So you make your way to your stateroom. What kind of stateroom did you book for this 5-night cruise, and what did you think of it?
It's standard ocean view balcony, and we were very happy with it. Plenty of room, plenty of storage. Didn't have the USB chargers as an older ship, but we've had our little technology to have a USB hub, and it was perfect.
How about the size of the bathroom and storage space?
Storage space was great. Bathroom was a little small, but overall, there was plenty of storage space, which is more than I can say on some of the newer ships that I've been on.
100%. So let's talk about the dining on this 5-night cruise, and we'll start up at the Windjammer, the buffet. How was it, and how were the protocols up there as of December 2021?
Protocols were you walked in, they made you wash your hands, and they served you. Those were pretty much the protocols. Due to the capacity, only half the buffet was open, the one side and the back. The other side was closed. Overall, the food was good. We only ate there for breakfast on those days because we had the dining plan. And the breakfast was good, plenty of options. I prefer the dining room, but for a quick bite, it's good.
Gotcha. Now, speaking of the dining room, what time dining did you have, and how was your experience there for your other meals?
Since we had the unlimited dining plan, we did not experience the main dining room for any dinners. We did breakfast there once.
Okay.
We liked the breakfast better at the dining room than we did at Windjammer. One other thing that some people would want to know is that 2,200 capacity, they did have Windjammer open for dinner.
Gotcha. Yeah. Because that's been a thing, like hit or miss on some royal ships where Windjammer hasn't been open for dinner on some ships. So that's good that you said that.
I think it's 2/3 capacity is what they said. And
okay.
Since they were 2/3 capacity, they opened it.
That makes sense. So did you do a specialty dining all 5 nights?
All 5 nights.
Okay. So let's give us the first one. We'll just kind of bang down the list here.
Jamie's Italian. I think that was my favorite specialty restaurant. It's definitely my favorite specialty restaurant on Royal. It might be my favorite specialty restaurant on any ship so far regarding the quality of food and the service. We had a phenomenal server. Yan Yan was his name. He definitely was my best server I've ever had. And the food was just really good. We had Aaron, I remember specifically the arancini. The portion size was pretty small, but considering how much food you're getting, I'd rather it that way. It was probably the best arancini I've had since the last time I was actually in Sicily.
Nice.
So it was very, very good. And all the meals there were good. They were like typical cruise. You want to try two things. Instead of giving me a full plate of one, they said, why don't you just do two half plates of both? And nice. I was able to try multiple dishes that way.
Very cool. After Jamie's, where'd you go?
We did the steakhouse, Chops Grill. Steaks were cooked to perfection, as always. And I could never complain about a meal of Chops.
And then after Chops?
We did Hizumi Abachi. That was good. I think we had a trainee for our chef, but the food quality was good. He just took a little longer to do the cooking than some of the other chefs out there.
How many tables does Hizumi have on Mariner?
I think I counted five, but again, we were tucked into a corner.
Sure. Gotcha.
So it was again, I don't quote me on the number.
Sure. And then where'd you go to next after Hizumi?
We did Jamie's Italian and Chops again.
Wow. Double headers.
Yes, nice. We did all that. We did do Playmakers for lunch one day, and that was good. The only thing I would say that was negative of that, it was, I think it took us about 40 minutes to get our food, which is long for a cruise ship. Not really long for a normal restaurant, but you get a little spoiled on cruise ships and how fast they serve you.
Did you have the wings at Playmakers?
Yes, I did. And they were actually, I was surprised at how good they were. I had the wings and I had the pork sliders, and they were both were very good.
Nice. Now, how about any other places you ate around the ship, like pizza, or do they have a promenade cafe type thing on there?
They do have a promenade cafe. There's no Sorrento's. This pizza is served at the cafe. And the pizza was coming from, I live in New Jersey, and we have a lot of very good pizza options. I was actually surprised. It's a thin crust. It's pretty crispy. It was actually surpassed my expectations.
Nice. All right. Well, let's talk about the entertainment. How was the entertainment on your 5-night cruise?
The entertainment was good. The one thing I'll say, it's not, if you're going into it expecting the entertainment quality that you get on some of their bigger ships, it's not going to be that. And they were also ramping up their production shows. This cruise was the first one of their production shows, which was like Dancing Through the Times and singing. So their full cast was out there and dancing and singing in different songs. It was good. It was very good. But it's not the same as if you would do an Oasis class or one of those other bigger Quantum class ships. It's not, you're not going to get that same quality. Mm-hmm. The one show that did surpass my expectations was the ice show, though. So if you want to, it was Ice Under the Big Top, I think was the name of the show. It was a very, very good show.
All right. And how about around the ship as far as like in the pubs or, you know, piano players or anything like that?
They did have a roaming piano player. He was going around. We heard him for a few minutes here and there. I always, my mother got a kick out of seeing it. What's he doing there? So that was very good. There was entertainment other ships, but we pretty much stuck to the production shows and restaurants and that type of thing, because that was a full day for my mother.
During the production shows, did you have to make any kind of reservations or was it just show up?
You should have made reservations. They asked you to. Due to the capacity, unless you were going for an unvaccinated show, mm-hmm. you really didn't need to. They weren't checking reservations except for the ice show. They did check your reservations, make sure you had reservations for the ice show.
Hey, I want to talk about this, the vaccinated / unvaccinated venues. So because if the kids are under 12 and don't have the shot yet or what have you, so there's certain areas of the ship that are just like vaccinated people can go there, but it's dedicated unvaccinated. Is that how it works?
For the theater, what they did was the balcony, which is level 4, was for unvaccinated families.
Okay.
Any families with unvaccinated children. And the third floor, which is the main level, was for vaccinated. However, the one critique I would have at Royal was they did let everyone know, go here, you're vaccinated, wear your mask, whatever. But if someone was belligerent and they were ignoring it, rather than confront them, they just let it go. So we did see children on the third level for one of the production shows.
Gotcha. Let's talk about the sea days on board the ship. You weren't at full capacity, but how were the sea days as far as crowds and congestions? And did you see any parts where, hey, this might get crowded when we're at full capacity?
Actually, yeah. We spent our sea days in the solarium and the chair hogs were out already.
Wow. Okay.
So everything was pretty much filled. You know, it was just at that capacity where there were just enough chairs. Some people were watching and waiting. But they did not have the sign out for removing towels if they're there for 30 minutes because I think of the decreased capacity. If it gets any more capacity, they're going to have issues because there were some people getting a little annoyed. But overall, they were right on that fine line at that point with 2,200 people on that ship.
Gotcha. Let's talk about the ports of call. You had two on this 5-nighter, Cozumel and Perfect Day. Which one did you go to first?
Perfect Day.
How was it?
It was great. My first time ever going there. Obviously, my mother's first time going there. So pretty much I did what she wanted to do, not what I would have preferred to do. Mm-hmm. But I was very happy to do it. She wanted to do swimming with the pigs.
Okay.
We did that. Then we sat by the pool for a little bit. And then we did the up, up and away balloon. Both were good. I will say, though, for people ever wanting to do the up, up and away balloon, that thing is the most fickle excursion due to wind. If you book it, there's probably a 50% chance or you will either not be able to do it or you won't go as up to the top, up to as high as it can go and go up to 450 feet in the air.
Wow.
Ours, we were told that they were having problems. Go show up 15 minutes before. If they had everything fixed or the wind died down, that we'd be able to go up. We were lucky. We were able to go up, but we were only able to go up 200 feet.
So a lot of people
had their balloon canceled that day.
Was it half off for half the distance?
No, it was not.
Okay.
You have the choice. It said you can get your refund if you want it, or you can go up. We're only going up 200 feet. And we went up.
Gotcha. And then you went to Cozumel. How was that?
We didn't get off the ship due to my mother's mobility issues. Mm-hmm. We stayed on and we enjoyed a nice ship day with less people on it.
You can't beat that. So you make your way back to Port Canaveral. How was disembarkation?
It was seamless. We waited on the ship, so we didn't go with the mad rush. We had some time. So we got off probably around at 8 breakfast and then got off probably around 8:15 with 9 o'clock was the last people to get off. And we just walked right out.
Gotcha. Now, when you walk through the casino, now, obviously, Royal Caribbean changed the rules of the casino smoking on December 17th for a little while, but on your sailing, there was smoking in the casino. How was the cigarette smoke in and around the casino?
It didn't really emanate too much out. You could definitely smell it when you were in it. The casino was packed. It was full on every night and every sea day. It was full, I think, the whole time. It was amazing to see, but... you could definitely smell the smoke when you were in it, and thankfully it didn't really emanate out.
Your dining package that you had, the 5-night dining package, was that part of your cruise plan, or did you kind of pre-purchase that as a package?
Pre-purchased it.
Gotcha. Was it much of a value?
I think it came out to be $20 a day per person.
Oh, that's not bad at all. That's really good.
If the discount's high enough, then I figured I'd do it.
yeah, for sure. Any first-time tips to offer someone who may be considering either sailing Mariner of the Seas or going the perfect day for the first time?
I would just say that, particularly now and with the capacities going up, make your reservations for your shows because they may limit how many people get in first day if you want to get in. Particularly if you have any children and you have unvaccinated. The unvaccinated shows, particularly the ice shows, I think they showed it once. So if you didn't make your reservation to get in on that one show, you're not going to see it. Mm-hmm. So just make sure you get your reservations in.
The app experience, cruise lines are mostly forcing everyone to use the app, whether you like it or not. Was it pretty intuitive and pretty easy to use? And did you find any issues of it being clunky at all?
The only issue we had was day one. And because the reservation ability was not showing up for the shows. Mm-hmm. And essentially what they told, and this might be a tip for anyone going on the ship, is you need to log out of everything, reset it, and log back in when you're on the ship, and then everything will show up.
Gotcha.
So that was the only issue we had. Otherwise, it worked great. It was very intuitive. I think they did a fantastic job with the app.
Let me ask you about the at-home COVID test that you that was proctored over the computer. A lot of listeners are, I get a ton of emails about these tests, and was it simple to use? Like, was this your first time using it? Did you find it very straightforward and very easy, the whole process, aside from AWS going down?
We did. And then the fact that they lost, we found it very easy to do the test. The fact that they lost my mother's for a while was annoying, but it's the way to go. So you're not worried about trying to have a backup plan for a test at wherever you're going. Mm-hmm. That's a good idea to always have. But I would always rather take the test 2 days beforehand and just be done with it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Looking back, what was the biggest highlight of this cruise?
Just going on a cruise with my mother and seeing her face going on that ship and seeing her going on vacation for the first time in 40 years.
Wow.
It was, she actually said she doesn't sleep very well a lot of times. She slept great every night.
And your final thoughts of Mariner of the Seas?
It's a fantastic cruise ship for the size. If you want to get started on a what's considered a mid-size ship, it's a big ship. But if you want to get started on a cruise, get a taste of cruising, it's a perfect ship to try. It's 4 or 5 nights. It's a great, ideal ship to start on.
Very good. I've been talking with Adam about his 5-night cruise aboard Mariner of the Seas. Went over to Perfect Day in Cozumel. Adam, thank you so much for reaching out. And one of those 4 cruises you have booked in the future, dial me back and we'll talk about it, buddy.
Thanks, Doug.
All right, Dougie, let's see what we got here, buddy. Ba-ba-ba-da-ba-da.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly in Jacksonville, Florida. For partnership opportunities, email Doug at cruiseradio.net. Hear Cruise Radio on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Google Play, or at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.